Greetings, podcast listeners. This is Eduardo M. Fryer. You may remember me from the Young Justice podcast I did with Ian. Well, I'm here not as a guest, but to plug my own podcast, Mark Who 42's Hooniverse, and the fact that if you're in the South Florida area, you may want to swing by the Florida Supercon convention, which is happening July 4th to the 7th, over in Miami, Florida, at the Miami Airport Convention Center. Mark Who 42 is pretty much going to be taking over the convention as far as Doctor Who is concerned. We'll be hosting not one, not two, but four, count them, four events, and a viewing room. The fun starts on July 4th at 7:30 p.m. with No Snogging in the TARDIS, Sex and Sexuality in Doctor Who. That'll be hosted by the Mark Who 42 podcast with a special guest. Anime voice actor J. Michael Tatum will be joining us for his thoughts. Then, on July 5th, if everybody needs something to do after gorging themselves on barbecue and fireworks, then at 9:30 p.m., join us for the Masquerade Ball, an evening at the end of space and time. It's a wonderful Doctor Who-themed masquerade. Then the big one is the next day, Saturday, July 6th at 6:30 p.m., it's What's What About Doctor Who, hosted by all four of the podcast members. We'll be talking about Doctor Who Series 7, we'll be discussing theories on the 50th anniversary, and hey, there'll be audience participation with prizes. Will there be some other stuff? Maybe. Can't say. You'll just have to come and find out. And then on the 7th at 12:15 p.m., we have The Resurgence of Doctor Who, from PBS Obscurity to the Mainstream, where we talk about Doctor Who first coming to America, being shown on PBS, and now being seen on BBC America and having been on the Sci-Fi Channel. It'll be a great panel. And hey, in between all that fun, Mark Who 42 has a screening room where it's not just Doctor Who, but it's also the spin-offs Torchwood, The Sarah Jane Adventures, and other British sci-fi programs like the original Being Human. And as a special treat, the last day, Sunday, July 7th, in the evening, we will be playing not one, but two Doctor Who-related riff tracks, one of the Dalek movies, and the 1990s Doctor Who movie, featuring the only televised appearance of the Eighth Doctor. So, join us at the Florida Supercon, July 4th through July 7th, at the Miami Airport Convention Center. And don't forget, in addition to listening to Ian's podcast here, listen to us at Mark Who 42's Hooniverse. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on the Geekcast Radio Network, and we can be found at www.markwho42.com. We can also be found on Facebook. Just look up Mark Who 42. There we go. That's good.
Tonight, we're talking about Man of Steel, directed by Scott Snyder, produced by Christopher Nolan.
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder. Scott Snyder's the guy who's writing the Superman
movie. Scott Snyder on the brain.
I do. He's been a pretty good writer. Just started Year Zero. I'm excited. It's kind of a gimmick, but whatever. He's a good writer. A good writer can make a gimmick better than it needs to be, which I like.
You know what sucks with them doing Year Zero like that is that there's no number that comes before zero.
I know, right?
Unless they go into actual math.
Whatever. It's going to be like 12 issues. I got issue one today. Anyway, tonight we're not talking about comic books. We're talking about a comic book movie. Yeah, what do I think of Man of Steel? I think it's a 3.5 out of 5. Just to cut to the chase on it. There were elements of it that I liked. They had to do things in a novel way because I think that the Donner film is so beloved and also pretty much gets the origin story very right for a certain mentality. And so things like the way that they broke the origin story up into flashbacks and stuff, at first I didn't really like it, but I thought, well, at least it's a different way to do it. It starts with a giant sci-fi spectacle thing a lot of time, like a good, well, it feels like at least 20 minutes on Krypton, which is sort of similar to the Donner movie, but not at all the same because it's more of a big action thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar to the first episode of the animated series. The animated series like doesn't even have Superman in the first episode. It's like just his dad running around on Krypton, getting shot at and stuff, which is pretty much how this movie starts. I feel that where the movie... I mean, there will be a few spoilers in this, but I think there's one critical spoiler at the end we can speak to the sort of mentality and tone of, but I don't think I want to give that away. I mean, the thing about Superman is that he needs to have both sides. There's this exciting running around sci-fi spectacular punching giant robots and crazy fights that can happen because this character can do these amazing things. And then there's this sort of reason to care about why it's happening or and all that. And I think that the film kind of failed in that respect. Lawrence Fishburne was good as Perry White. He was in it very little, but he's just a good actor. And Amy Adams is also a good actor. And she was good as Lois Lane. But there's a lot of moving parts in this movie. And it was kind of successful in some components and not so successful in others. It almost really felt to me like a sequel to a Superman movie that tried to shoehorn in an origin. It's a Superman origin story slash sequel, basically, crammed into one. I feel like where they were successful is with all the Krypton stuff, in terms of they kind of created this new mythos around it, which was kind of weird and kind of bizarre, but they made it work for the movie. And it also did something that I like, which is it gave the Zod character, the villain, like it gave him kind of like dimensionality and complexity. So in that sense, I think they were successful in giving us a pretty decent villain. And Michael Shannon, of course, was big and ostentatious and scene-chewing, which is what he likes to do, even in, like, Boardwalk Empire and stuff. I like Kevin Costner's Jonathan Kent. Those scenes were, for the most part, pretty good. I thought Cavill had, like, moments when he was Superman, and that was cool. Like, he kind of had that sensibility of how Superman should be and speak and behave. But there was no real Clark Kent in this movie. And that was kind of how it ended. And I liked that final shot. It was sort of this abrupt kind of handheld looking like office, like procedural drama shot. And I'm like, that's kind of cool.
I feel like enough people saw him that it was really stupid.
Then you saw who he was. Yeah. Like even that cop that brought Lois there.
Right.
I mean, a big spoiler, like I said, there's going to be spoilers. The biggest spoiler they made in this is they decided to have just Lois be a good enough reporter that the first thing she discovers is the true identity of Superman. Right. the big spoiler is the one at the end, and I don't want to spoil that because I think people need to see that, and that's a decision they made in this movie, and I think we can speak to everything else about it.
That was odd, I feel.
This is kind of what a lot of people were afraid of. I think part of it maybe is Snyder's fault. Part of it could be Nolan's. A large portion I'm going to throw on Goyer. I think Goyer's kind of a hack, honestly. Like, Batman Begins is the only movie he was involved in really the writing of. Well, and there are parts of that aren't good.
He has story credit on a few other ones.
Maybe, but I don't know. It would have been nice to have Jonathan had a pass at this one, maybe. Not that would have solved problems. Whatever. Screw it. Or maybe Paul Dini, or whatever, my best friend. Because, like I said, there was no joy in this movie. It was dark.
It was dark. Humorless.
Which you don't want Superman.
So here's my issue. You gave it 3.5. It's way too high, in my opinion.
Way too high?
Way too high.
Well, because the villain stuff was good.
It wasn't a bad movie, but I feel like at the end, I got the same out of that I did out of the Bryan Singer one. I feel like I got the same out of the two movies.
Except they were different.
Same feeling.
They took the Bryan Singer one. It's like they took all the things he did and like, don't do any of those things. So none of the... Like, none of the bombasticness, none of the
joke
fanfare.
Around, don't joke around with Clark Kent. Don't make him a goofy guy. That was the one thing that people kind of not favorably compared him to, because when you say favorably compared to, that means, like, better than. But was something that people equated a little bit with Christopher Reeve was the goofiness and the humor and the joyfulness and all that stuff. And Christopher Reeve was the absolute perfect Superman. Always will be. And it sucks that, you know, good thing they put all the good shots in the trailer, which was him looking up serenely at things and closing his eyes and contemplating. He can do those looks fine, but when it comes to talking to people, he just has the same knitted brows look of semi-concern and confusion.
Which is fine for Superman in Superman mode.
Christopher Reeve never did it.
Well, so Christopher Reeve got to play it in a different world.
And when he played Clark Kent.
I'm fine with it. And this guy never got to play Clark Kent. And that lack of the Clark Kent.
We'll see. This guy can't do a joke.
He probably,
I guarantee it.
Probably can't. And that's why
Ralph
can
do a joke.
Bad.
Ralph is a joke.
Ralph? Brandon Ralph. Yeah, right. I mean, so it was just... so dark. And I mean, like, you got Zimmerman, or Hans Zimmer, doing the score again, and he's just like, can he think outside of his own little box?
It sounded
at this
a lot
point?
Like the.
It sounded like
the only time I noticed it was when it sounded like the Daft Punk score to Tron 2.
Oh my god, yeah, that's
that was
happening
the only
a
time
lot
I
too.
Noticed it. Yeah,
it's that. It's this like bum bum
yeah.
bum bum,
which is all him.
It's all garbagey stuff.
It's all from him.
Yeah,
bro.
And then they throw in a you know a Chris Cornell song for the sake of it.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no. Here's what Superman.
Because they probably talked to Michael Mann right. at some point.
what?
Michael Mann loves Chris Cornell. Don't you remember? Collateral was like. All Audio Slave songs.
I didn't remember that. That's weird.
The soundtrack was all Audio Slave.
Usually
songs,
he uses
like
a,
four different times in the movie. I think he used Audio Slave in Miami Vice too. In the Miami Vice movie,
he used a lot of stuff in Miami Vice. He used Mogwai and stuff in Miami Vice.
He's a big Chris Cornell guy.
Okay, fine. That's Michael Mann's angle on it. He should have directed this movie instead of Zack Snyder. Yeah, just so dark and joyless. And, like, the thing about Superman that's different than Batman is that, yes, there has to be, like, a heartfeltness and there's a sentimentality and kind of a schmaltzy angle. And they still tried to do that, but they did it in the most, like, ham-fisted, like, piano note bullshit
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And not like in the John Williams giant, you know, dun-dun-ah!
Yeah.
Right. Which is key. I mean, Bruce Timm said this in the commentaries to the animated series. He's like, all good Superman themes, you can hear Superman in
the
theme.
Word Superman.
You can
yeah.
hear it in
yeah.
theme. And John Williams did like three good themes. There's like three
yeah.
iterations of the attitude for that character. There's Superman,
yeah.
then there's Superman, then there's, you know, Superman, you know, like the goofy, like da da da, like when he tosses the bullet
yeah.
after he saves Lois in the first one, and it's like da da.
Here's Christopher Reeve, he's so cool.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Na, 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 Superman.
Right, and that isn't here. They almost sort of do it, but it's in a Zimmer fashion or whatever.
You can do that with all the
you can't you
John
can
Williams songs.
Right, but you can do
Star Wars.
Yeah, I know, but you can do that with all the Superman, all the good Superman
the
themes, all the good Superman themes. Like even the animated series has it.
Okay.
The animated series goes Superman, 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 and then the All Star Superman movie they made has it in a real somber way, which is cool because it's like you know about the death of Superman. But this one doesn't have that, and I was like, I knew that was a petty
thing.
At least
it needs to be memorable. You know
yeah,
what's,
nothing memorable. They haven't been done memorable scores in forever.
There have been memorable scores.
Recently?
Not recently.
No. It's all just droning,
no.
It's video game scores.
You know what I miss? Danny Elfman went way off the deep end with the goofy stuff, but his Batman, his original Batman number one, the first 1989 Batman, has a phenomenal score. That is an amazing.
And then to have Prince come in there and do stuff is also just like a weird combination.
But the overture, the Batman that he does there is just phenomenal. It's so good.
It's really cool. And this doesn't have any memorable score. It doesn't. And here's the thing that really hits on me. By doing the lack of Clark thing, all that stuff at the end with Perry White and Jenny Olsen and all that stuff, like, you kind of don't really care that much. I mean, there are people.
I didn't give a crap about any of them.
And
I was hoping those buildings would crush them.
Well, not that, too. Like, this is a Superman movie that
was
dark
so
and dreary.
Humorless.
And about 8 million people died. That entire city was decimated.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't really
in a
show
brutal
any
fashion.
People. Yeah.
And
so,
then they cut to what? 10 years later, when the city's back together and the paper's back up, and here's the other thing:
right.
What did we not get? We never got a shot at the Daily
full
Planet.
Penetration.
Well, that aside, I'm pretty disappointed.
You got a shot of the.
Did we ever see the globe in the Daily Planet?
They had the globe,
I never
they had
saw
the globe
it
on the ground floor. He walks past it at the very end.
It's at the ground floor.
Yeah.
Well, that's horse shit, man. That's chicken shit.
He walks past it. There's the ribbon across it. Says Daily Planet.
Chicken shit. It's not where the Daily Planet goes.
Once again, your foul mouth is turning this into a
I know
a hard PG-13.
Well, if this is a hard PG-13 kind of movie,
maybe
all kinds of people getting their necks
broken. The only word
shit
they really said a lot in the movie was "dick."
They
talked about
dick
dicks
a couple
a lot
of times. Yeah,
they talked a lot about dicks.
And for the scope of things, the scale was oddly stretched too, because it ended up just being like this like 3-star general. It's the highest guy Superman ever deals with.
Yeah.
And a worldwide thing?
Yeah.
Like, the President of the United States and
yeah,
Superman need to be buddies
yeah
by the end of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that didn't happen.
They need to high-five over the ruins
and that,
of Putin's
But that's the that's like a flaw, too. Like, it just never felt big enough. Like, even though it was huge.
You're regretting that 3.5 now?
I didn't give it 3.5.
You
three
said 3.5.
I said 3.
Rewind the tape, gosh dang it. Jeff Phillips.
I said it's a 3 out of 5. And maybe you heard 3.5.
Maybe I did.
Anyway. What I mean, if I made a mistake,
is that
it's a 3 out of 5.
Unless he's wrong.
And that's because the villain stuff was good. The stuff they sort of laid out about
the
alien stuff
was well
good.
Motivated.
Right.
I'm not sure how
and
well
the Kryptonian
Michael Shannon
stuff
plays
was
in
interesting
major motion picture.
it's a big role.
He's a great actor, but yeah. he's so odd looking and has a really weird.
He always looks really pissed off and stuff, which is really cool.
That's great.
It would have worked in a movie where everyone else had there was a little bit more humor and capacity.
He talks like this the whole time.
I'm trying to think of any other little bits. Okay, well, the whole Fortress of Solitude angle was a little
bizarre. Before I forget something, let me get this. This is important. So, Nolan's involved. He's producing it.
Yeah.
His name's all over it.
There's all kinds of hints. They do all this alien stuff just to give you the justice.
So the thing that I appreciate about his Batman, the first two.
Right.
I try not to involve the third one. I need to watch it again at some point so I can try to get unpissed about it. it's a real world.
Yeah.
Real people. Feels well populated. It feels like an actual city.
Yeah.
And it feels realistic that this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of. Within reason.
You drop Batman into it. And he's got... And they set up all the reasons why he can do what he does. And they did that so great. And that... So they move that over into this.
They try to, and it doesn't work.
Because Superman is so stupid an idea that it needs to be a galactic, cosmic, amazing, and it needs to have more humor into it. Batman's always been more essentially humorless.
Yeah.
Except for the jokey stuff that's supposed to be in there with Joker and all that sort of thing. Some people make some wisecracks and junk and Alfred and whoever.
Yeah.
Right? So, but the Superman world is a big, fun, bright, colorful thing for the most part. And this is... not that the character didn't show that. And actually, the strongest stuff in the film to me was the stuff with his family on Earth. I thought a lot of that was actually
that was good. And that was in the trailer, but then
You saw all of it already.
And you've seen a lot of it done in the Donner movie.
That was the stuff that gave him purpose and motivation and stuff. I just don't know if the actor can really pull it off. Not that he couldn't pull off a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, but just he's just not a great actor. Cavill is his name. Henry Cavill. Gotta remember that. So, the gas trucks, the blow-up, a couple trains.
The gas truck that says LexCorp.
Not that one. Another one. And the satellite say Wayne on them.
I never caught any of the Waynes.
Brief glimpses. So, they are clearly clearly putting it in a shared universe because their plan is, let's make a Justice League.
Right, of course. There was some pretty definitive stuff as this got closer.
Nolan behind stuff becomes much more realistic because he's already a proven moneymaker, right?
Yeah.
And even though I still don't understand why he would... hitch his wagon to Zack Snyder.
It's a bad call. It's
just unbelievable. I mean, he didn't do anything particularly wrong. He just doesn't do anything great.
Yeah.
He just makes... I mean, he peaked at Dawn of the Dead because it didn't have to be about anything except for a little bit of satire and then a bunch of heads blown up and people getting bitten and people escaping and it didn't have to be about anything. But everything that matters, they keep giving him movies that matter. Not movies that matter, but movies that matter.
It's like two parts of...
So are we to believe that the Batman in this shared universe, in this realistic world, is now suddenly going to have to fight...
Apocalypse?
Yeah. And crap like that?
If Nolan could make it work, it can be done. The good writers, like I've said before, have made a Justice League environment where Batman, through his detective work and his cunning and his resources...
But if I saw Christian Bale in a bat suit,
yeah,
or Joseph Gordon-Levitt, however stupid thing they do with it,
yeah,
punching people in space, I would be so pissed off that I would sit through the whole movie and finish it and then go home.
Mm-hmm. But what if you saw a situation where it was like you'd completely forgotten about Batman, and then all of a sudden the bad guy thinks...
I'd be like, that's stupid. He's a guy from a city. All he does is drop down from
a rope.
Rusty pipes with ropes and clobber people.
That's all he can do. But every now and again, he can flip a switch and have a situation figured out. But then Nolan also hasn't really set up a Bruce Wayne that's much of a detective either in those movies. So
why don't they just adapt that Frank Miller, Jim Lee, Batman versus Spawn? Why don't they do that? Jim Lee. It was McFarlane.
McFarlane did the Batman Spawn. Yeah. You're thinking of All Star Batman.
Miller wrote
both of them.
What I'm saying is the one with McFarlane and him. It's such a stupid idea.
Yeah.
But that's better. That's a better idea than Justice League.
I don't know what to tell you.
Miller wrote that Batman has the mind of a nuclear scientist with the fingers of a concert pianist.
Yeah.
Or a safecracker.
Yeah.
He wrote that as he's sitting on top of a nuclear bomb that he's dismantling as he goes back toward the city. Remember that?
That's good. I own that book. It's
remember
fun.
That?
It's a fun one.
So when Spawn shows up in this movie...
Yeah. Spoiler alert. At the secret ending, Spawn shows up.
I think the last person you pop up in...
I don't know.
Henry Cavill seems like...
It's a hard role to play if you're just playing the Superman, like... stand back, please, and like, sir, I'm, you know,
sure,
this,
sure, sure.
And everything.
He does some angry moments, and he's got the good stuff with the family stuff, but it's a humorless.
Yeah.
It's a humorless role, first of all, so we don't know if he can pull anything off. But the look on his face through most of the film is like a little puppy.
Yeah.
He's kind of a dumb puppy. He's like turning his head sideways and looking at people like, well, what should I do?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do now?
Yeah. And it was kind of a sloppy movie, too. I feel like there was a few points in the editing and in the structuring of the way it flowed that
I didn't like Lois in it. Yeah, the structure was really odd. It did a lot of weird things through the whole first half.
Well, I mean, and they, of course, like you said, you're talking about the realism of Batman and then the spectacle of Superman. They like they think they kind of get it wrong by trying to get it right, like starting off the gate, like, we'll be on Krypton and we'll have giant space fights real quick, and everyone will be like, this is not Batman. This is not a realistic Batman universe.
Right.
But it's like, okay, but where's the humor? Where's the sense of fun? Where's also the, like, connection, you know, to what's going on? And they still never answered the biggest question everybody that saw the trailers had, which is, how does he shave? They just cut around. Cut around that.
There's stuff on the internet about it. Apparently there's a bunch of, there's extra footage they shot because they have sponsorship with, like, Gillette.
Oh, right.
And Gillette has ads all over the internet. If you've seen them, that say, like, how's he shave? How's he shave? Click here. How's he shave? So there's probably some footage they shot of it.
And he just uses a super Gillette, but he uses, like, five of them, and it works. It's just, like, Gillette 5
blade. Even though one of his hair is holding up whatever in the original series.
That was in, in Quest for Peace.
We can't talk about that final thing.
Right, but we can talk about the we can talk about the sensibility of it, though.
The sensibility
we said,
of
it is darker movie. Okay, it's a dark fucking movie.
But it affects. You just made this a hard R.
Yeah, that's because it's a hard R kind of movie.
It's not.
It might
not
as well be. Like, dude. First off, I had no problem with the guy and his son behind us, while the kid was like
left.
The kid. He was he was behind me to the right.
Oh, okay, I thought he was.
Maybe you had other ones too.
I had some ones to our left. And,
yeah,
and after everything
I think you
that
did.
Happened, the kid kept going. Yeah.
See, then
so I thought he was retarded.
He's
then,
brain.
And then I saw him leave, and he totally wasn't retarded.
Well, no,
he was just super enthusiastic.
Just an idiot. The kid I had behind me was asking questions, and his dad was explaining. He's like, "What's a natural birth?" And I'm kind of like, "This is hilarious." The dad's going to explain natural birth in a movie quietly, and he did. To his credit, the dad's like, "It's actually like you know." You know, and I'm like, this is awesome.
It comes out of the mother's vagina.
Like, if it was a better movie, I might have been annoyed that there was talking, but it was quiet.
That
the dad knew what he was doing, and he was being cool with his kid.
You still gave it a 3.
I still gave it a 3 because of the villain stuff, the spectacle was some of the fighting was kind of cool.
So the spectacle, but
I got bored with it pretty quick.
I got bored with it quick. Mirth, once again, was what was missing from all that.
Absolutely.
What I keep unfairly referring to when I'm thinking of this film is the Avengers movie. And it's unfair because there are different universes and different...
It's the same kind of problem. I had the same problems with both of them, though.
But Avengers was funny.
Avengers did have that.
And it had the humor and constant interplay and the wisecracking. And even during that massive final spectacle fight where they're also smashing every single building in New York, you know, or the stand-in
right,
for New York
in
this case. But there's funny stuff intercutting through all of it. And Zack Snyder has never had the funny stuff intercutting with things. Like
he's not an actor-director either. Like, the performances are just not that great. Like I said, I thought Fishburne was good, but only had a little bit to do. And I thought that Adams was actually pretty good as Lois when she was just being Lois.
Yeah, sure,
but there wasn't a lot to it.
She can do the bold woman thing.
Well, right, but she...
She always does that.
And so... But there was no chemistry with Cavill, and, like, that kiss at the end was just
like
awkward.
They wanted to bang, but...
Well, but it didn't make a lot of sense either. But the other thing that I thought that I did like is that they at least tried to kind of set up why, all these Kryptonians come on Earth. That means it's like Superman versus 50 Supermen. And it's like, no, this is why. They kind of set up a scenario where they made it somewhat believable that Superman could take on multiple Kryptonians.
Right.
And it wasn't just like a complete... But they kind of failed at his... Just like you said, his joyfulness /... like, absolute concern for humanity. At one point, go inside. Like, and they're already going inside.
Yeah.
They did have stuff at the beginning with the oil well and stuff, but that all... I don't know. I mean, and then the thing with his dad. I thought the thing with his dad was pretty good. Like, that was actually almost kind of moving for me.
Yeah, it was.
Except that it was... It was just... The execution was just a little sloppy and hokey. And in terms of... Especially what he says later, where he's like... He said that wasn't... You know, he figured that wasn't the time. But, like, what, 3 years later it would be? And that would make a huge difference?
Well,
Or not the death? Maybe it was the contact center which the world would find out. I don't know. But that stuff... The hints of that thematic stuff was something I thought was good. And some of the, like I said, some of the setup and some of the changes.
You cram it into a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, Snyder's trailers have always been good. The 300 trailer was good. Even the stupid trailer for Sucker Punch was like, oh, it looks like it'd be fun.
Are you psyched about 301?
I didn't even sit through all that. Yeah,
you
walked out.
You took a perfectly timed leak for the 301.
Yeah.
What's funny is that Lena Headey.
Is back, yeah.
Headley? Well, Headley Lamar?
Just call her whatever Turkadian she is or whatever.
No, she's what are they called? Lannister.
Lannister. They always pay their debts, right? I got season 2. I'm finally going to watch it.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just think of her. I can't think of her. So the last few things I've seen her in, she was a bad guy. She was a bad guy in that Judge Dredd movie.
Right. I have to see that Judge Dredd movie. I heard it was good. Right. Is there mirth in that? Or is there no mirth in that? Because
there was no mirth whatsoever, but they made it,
a point of it. And he never took his helmet off.
Never, ever.
That's cool.
You only see this much of Carl Urban. He probably didn't even need to be in it.
That's great.
Why not just get anyone? That's funny.
So I think, ultimately, Man of Steel... Wanted to like it, didn't. I think I agree with you there. Why is it so hard for these guys to get it right? I mean, they almost just turn it back over to Donner. I mean,
is Richard Donner still alive?
Yeah. Is it this Peterson guy that's screwing him up?
John Peters?
Yeah.
He produced every single iteration of Superman since the original series.
Maybe
the ones that didn't get made and everything. I think he has something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe he didn't have that much control over the first few then, or Donner was just a better director at manipulating.
No, I don't think he had anything.
No robot spiders in that one, but there was the robot tentacles in this movie,
so stupid. That was so stupid. He goes to blow up this machine. He's got to fight some stupid ball bearing robot
liquid
arms.
Metal robot arms.
So stupid. That's so dumb.
It kind of is a part of what Superman is, so I'll give it that. Like, Superman needs to fight a giant robot at least once in the movie. That's fine. I'm cool with that.
I hate Superman.
But the intrinsic stuff that can make it good, they missed on a few places. But you were excited for this movie and were hoping it could be good. So what did you want, since you hate Superman? See, I like Superman. You don't like Superman. What did you want
from
it to be?
The look of the trailer, it looked like there was going to be awesome, good looking backstory stuff about his childhood. With haunting women ooing in the background, right? Musically. That's what it sounded like in the trailer.
And then
it was going to go to some Incredible Hulk days where he wandered the earth. But it started with him wandering the earth a little bit. So I thought they were going to do a lot of that. A lot more of that. I would like to see him more wander the earth like Incredible Hulk.
Did you like the flashing back to do stuff?
I didn't mind the way they did flashing back. I actually thought that probably was more effective than what I thought they were going to do, which was just kind of do it chronologically.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been tricky because the original is so good and it would have hit a lot of the same plot points in the same pacing. So by breaking it up, I kind of get why they did that. I did have kind of a issue with it. I mean, the other thing that you want to get from Superman 2 as well... it was what Donner took from Action Comics number one and made a joke on, is you want to get the little kid lifting the truck or whatever. I mean, you want to get something of a sign of... You never got to see the parents, the Kents, decide to keep this kid. You never got to see that moment when, she looks at him and it's like, no, he's a child and we love him. And the dad is, who knows what's going to happen. But they both...
What they should have had was they pull him out of the machine... And he goes, here we go again. I'll get the shovel. And she's like, no, wait.
Yeah, we don't have to kill this one. Or he hits it, and it breaks the shovel, and he's like, what? Then he comes back with a shotgun.
And that teaches him not to be an abusive person anymore. Uh-huh. It starts with him walking out there, and Martha's just all beaten to hell.
Yeah, all blistered and bug-eyed. Yeah, so what was your rating on it?
Did I give the last one?
I gave it a 3. Oh, you mean Returns?
Returns.
I don't think we rated. We didn't. We were doing the podcast back then.
Sure we did.
I don't think we were, man.
Sure we did.
So, I don't know
we
what
must
you
have. Two and a half.
Two and a half? So, you're only slightly worse than, slightly less than me.
Well, because it's not a bad movie.
Right.
It's just not a good movie. It's two
just,
and a half.
It's disappointing for as big as what Superman should be and could be.
What did I give
not.
Oblivion? I feel just as cold.
Yeah.
I felt cold. Because
it had that same dark, planet just taking resources kind of stuff and everything else. It was just dreary.
I to this day
did Metropolis feel like it mattered ever? No, so all the destruction that happened, it was just this.
But you know what? They also didn't spend a lot of
dismal
time
stuff
making us care. Well, no, they did. They did individual people stuff and people speaking to news cameras and people doing interviews in the Avengers movie. I remember that now. But that's just a few people,
right? It's hard necessarily, but with Metropolis as a made-up city, you have to. And in Batman Begins, they did a fucking top-notch job.
Absolutely.
At the very beginning, with him explaining to his son, "We have money, so we're doing these things to help make this city better." And then you see 10 years later, it's a shithole.
It's always a populated.
It's on him.
It's always a populated world,
and it's on him to protect it because of the legacy of his parents. And that stuff, even that's what Snyder hit the best in, like the Court of Owls stuff in the New 52, and they just didn't. I mean, they. Here's the thing I wanted to see. I wanted... It's another stupid line thing that, like, you know, stupid me as a writer. You know, I wanted to see the President of the United States take him out of the cuffs instead of him just break them easily. Like, that's dumb. That was for, like, an easy laugh or something. That was stupid. Yeah. And I wanted... At the moment when Angry Cop from SVU is, you know... Who was kind of good in this movie. I liked him as the...
Maloney.
When all the guys have got the guns on him and they're like, they don't know which way to go with him, and then they kind of all stand down on their own and everything. And he's like, this, you know, this man's on our side or whatever. I wanted Superman to like look at them, because Superman's also supposed to be a comforting force to humanity, and say to them something like, "We're gonna win," or something. You know, I know it sounds cheesy, but if it would execute right, it would have said like, "He's on their side," and everything, and not just like, you know, "Thank you," whatever, and then he flies off. And I mean, the weird part is like they tried to kind of add, I wouldn't say humor, but like some sense of levity or something to it at the very end after all the desolation with the drone. And he's like, "You want to know where I'm hanging my cape, huh?" And it's like, what? Hanging your cape? Yeah. What movie is this? This is the movie where there was a Holocaust in his city, basically. Yeah. And when that happened, when? And now everyone's kind of gotten over it quickly. We never saw any major world leaders react to any of this.
I want
to
see...
It just dropped the ball in a couple obvious ways. Well, here's the
thing. You have to imagine that as soon as the thing started doing the gravity ground punch thing, which seemed like it was going on for hours before they all got their things right, they probably evacuated the entire city, don't you think?
They started to, but it was going on for like 10 minutes before White's like, "Okay, we're leaving the building."
Well, it's because he's a poor manager.
Or because he's a good reporter. But either way, yeah, just some weird decision. This is probably what a more cynical version of me would have expected. And I'm glad I'm not that more cynical version.
With each iteration of Superman gone wrong, I wish that they would have
Kevin Smith
would have given Kevin Smith and Nicolas Cage a shot, man. I wish they would have given him a shot. That script was supposed to be hilarious, but like still have all the right stuff in it. We probably talked about something in this first podcast.
I've never read the script, but...
There was a scene where he saves a kid from something. You gotta have him save a kid. He doesn't save a kid.
Not in this movie.
A kid, and the kid was eating a hot dog and got mustard on him. Huh? And Kevin Smith had him lick the mustard off the kid's face and go, and say some stupid, corny line that was like... And the kid's like, ah.
That's a bit much. That's like Kevin Smith didn't want the role. He's like, "I'm going to write this scene, and people are going to talk about this."
You've heard this funny story about how John Peters just kept telling him to put spiders
in the I heard that. That's stupid shit. And then Wild West gets made.
And it's all about a giant spider,
Oh, my gosh.
Put some robot spiders in there. He's like, "All right, okay."
Sure. Part of me wonders why they don't just go to the comic book writers that have written the good stories of these comics.
Because it doesn't translate. You have to have somebody who...
No, but it can translate. I think it can. I think that you don't necessarily have to have them be the final say in the screenwriting, but maybe you should at least consult them with the story or get them in the room when you're bouncing the ideas around or something. Because some of these guys, it's not everything has to be some Wiggy Grant Morrison thing, you know, but some of that stuff is put in the movie anyway and just done in kind of a ham-fisted, hokey, like, these guys read this comic, they know how good it is, but they don't, you know, they're paying lip service to it or something. I don't know. But then again, I've heard that there's a pretty strange script floating around that Frank Miller co-wrote for Batman Year One or whatever.
Really?
With Aronofsky, where it's like homeless Bruce Wayne running around, you know, just kind of as a vigilante or something.
That sounds good.
All the Elseworld stuff is kind of okay, but at some point I'd rather just see a different character doing that. Because like a character... And so that's where it's problematic to talk about this movie, because it's Superman. And there's been a Superman movie before. And so they shouldn't be at all similar, because otherwise what's the point? But there are certain things that are iconic of those characters. And when you start getting so off the wall and like, let's put him in a green spandex instead and have him do this other thing, and then it's like, okay, it's not really that character anymore. If that's an interesting story, still do that story, fine, but whatever. I mean, it's like, if you want to tell a story that's about Bruce Wayne who finally decides to retire and then has to figure out what it's like to be a human being, you know, I'd read that comic. but it's not maybe necessarily a Batman story.
Remember how at the end of The Dark Knight Rises,
he was just hanging out?
He flies a nuclear bomb over the ocean, and it blows up, and then it turns out that he survived.
Yeah, he bounced. He probably put it on autopilot. Remember, because he fixed the autopilot.
He fixed the autopilot, but so then it, what, dumped him into the ocean?
Yeah, he had it set. He had a bat boat.
He doesn't have a bat boat.
You think he doesn't have a bat boat?
You don't think they would have noticed some sort of sonar?
How do you think he got back into the city? The bat boat. He took the bat
boat. They never showed that. They showed him crawl out of the well and then show it back in Gotham.
They didn't even show that. They showed him like as Bruce Wayne, like in a like trench coat, like meeting up with someone when he was like, back.
Yeah, when he got back.
They didn't show him climb out of a well.
They showed him climb out of the well.
That's right.
And then it cuts to him back in the prison.
I got to rewatch it too. There are parts of it I really do like, but that one is also kind of a. And it's the same with Superman. Both these movies don't make me feel good watching them.
Yeah, I feel this kind of sick and gross and weird.
And like, I feel like I was
like a proctologist had his way with me a little bit.
It was dark and stormy night.
Yeah, it was a dark and stormy night, and Zack Snyder bent me over and. Didn't even put on a latex glove.
Wouldn't be the first time. Probably won't be the last. We'll see if this makes a zillion or if this bombs. I don't think it will bomb because it's impossible for these movies to bomb. But I mean, it might only make $300 million in the long run. Instead.
You remember what they did in that last Indiana Jones movie? Why do they keep doing this? Why don't they just stop making movies that they already made and don't continue series after you ended them 20 years ago? How about that?
I don't know, man.
Why don't they stop this? Why don't they just make up something new?
Let's end this podcast as defiance of the feeling we got from watching like a too dark, joyless Man of Steel. Let's make this podcast something optimistic. What's been a good new franchise or good... I mean, I guess the Marvel stuff's been successful for the most part.
Marvel stuff has been great. Overall has been great.
Yeah. And that is, it's adaptations, not remakes. So there you go. That's good. DC's always been problematic. I think it comes to the core of their books. The fact that, I mean,
people DC talk, sucks is their problem.
It's because they're drawing from multiple
other characters. You know what DC stands for? Detective Comics.
Yes.
So why not just kill everybody off who's not Batman and just do the Batman origin story over and over and over?
Every 10 years?
Yeah. That's all we need. Just put it in the hands of a competent filmmaker.
I'm fine with the idea of.
No sequels.
Of a comic.
No sequel unless it's guaranteed to be better.
Restarting every now and again on some level.
Don't give anything to any Schumachers. Don't give anything to any Snyders.
Yeah,
definitely don't give it to Ratner. No Ratner, no Schumacher.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if this is like the Iron Man 2 of the Justice League movie or something. But
Justice League, so stupid.
It is. It's pretty useless. The thing about it is that I think the Justice League can work in a story when it's designed. But like even now, they've gotten to the point where they.
How about a good Flash movie?
They know they can't tell stories with all those characters every time. Like they can't do a weekly comic or a monthly comic where it's like let's get everybody back together. It's like no, you got to bring in the Z-listers and just do like a and that can be an interesting story.
The thing about the Avengers is that they put. They put
Marvel's making the same mistake. Many
characters in there.
They've totally done that now in the comics. The comics, there's like seven Avengers books.
Yeah. And they everybody's all have in everybody.
Yeah. And well, it's cross-referenced. Like, why is Hawkeye in the Secret Avengers and in this Avengers and that Avengers?
Do they ever say stuff like, I gotta leave, the Secret Avengers are having a business meeting at 6. I can't do this.
I can't be part of regular Avengers right now. No, but I've started reading Fractions.
Don't follow me, it's a secret.
I started reading Fractions Hawkeye book, which I think you'll like. And at the very beginning, it just says like, Clint Barton is Hawkeye. Sometimes he's an adventure. When he's not, this happens. And it's literally like they just make a point, and I hope they stick with it and it doesn't start to like cross, contaminate.
He's an Avenger.
Where's the first issue?
The series about the human resources manager for the Avengers? He tells them, listen, you have a leave
yeah.
of 4 months. You can deal with other things. So maybe have someone in your family get killed.
Well, the Avenger stuff is always supposed to be big stuff, so it's presumably all the other heroes are off doing their thing. So, but Clint Barton.
Oh, gotcha. Like, there's
Clint,
no.
Clint Barton gets knocked out. Gets knocked out of like a 4-story building at the very beginning, and like lands on a car.
Yeah.
And then it's like the doctor's reading all the things because he's just a human guy, you know. And then it's like cut to 3 weeks later, and he gets out of hospital on crutches.
Nice.
It's got like this weird humor, and then he buys this building that a bunch of these like Armenian mobsters owned or something. Right. He strong arms them into buying it from him. And I don't know, it's just, it's got a little humor, it's got a little everything. It's not Ultimates or anything. It's just
616 or whatever
it is. Yeah, it's the proper
Hawkeye. Now, in that one, What's his family situation? Does he have a wife and kids?
He doesn't in that story, in this version. In the Ultimates one, they went real dark.
They killed him off.
They killed them all off. And
which was super dark and also very motivating. It made you want everyone who was involved to be murdered.
It's just a really simple, not necessarily simple, but if you don't want like a big superhero story, but you just want like a kind of, you know, cynical character walking around doing stuff, but he's also Hawkeye, then that's all there is to it. Okay. That's the end. I'm just so mad.